After talking with Dr. Hayashi last night, I had to change the title of my talk. So I narrowed it down to DNA 2.0. We're going to talk about personalized medicine, as you heard tonight. I put in the Wikipedia definition of hype is promotion, especially promotion consisting of exaggerated claims. I no longer work in that world. We're going to talk about precision medicine, which is on the cover of a recent copy of the journal Nature. But before we go down that pathway and the other speakers will talk, I want to give you a really fast first review of basic genetics. As you know, DNA is a double-stranded molecule, and it has these four codes, adenine, thymine, cytosine, and guanine. And it's self-replicating, that is to say, if you cleave it down the middle with heat, it will assemble into its corresponding complementary part. On the very right, you see that in a different shape. Down below, you see the genetic code for insulin, a series of triplets that go together to make up insulin. Here's another one for your vocabulary, in that a gene, which is a piece of DNA, is made up of components called exons, the brown bars, and spacing material called introns. DNA is converted into a much smaller molecule called RNA, and eventually RNA cleaves out those introns and makes the message RNA, which goes to the machinery of the cell, and begins to make these strands of proteins. So an amino acid sequence yields a protein. Here we see the codes for the 21 amino acids that we see in the messenger RNA. And you'll note that some of these codes are redundant in the sense that several different codes can code for the same molecule, valine. There is a start message at the beginning of the transcription, and there are several stop messages. So you can imagine if through some mix-up in copying this, a stop message is put closer to the beginning of the protein, so you get a much truncated protein, a premature stop codon. On the right-hand side, you see these lists of these 21 amino acids, and you'll see the single-letter code, because it's much easier to talk in terms of single letters. So I use music as a metaphor tonight. And I'm learning from my grade one, maybe kindergarten, how to play the piano book, that there are these things called measures, and there's a double bar or a stop message in music. And so when you play this particular set of keys, you get music. And when you play this set of codes in MRA, you get a sequence of amino acids. I'll give you one short example of this. It's a simple tune, and it's not a melody, and I hope I have a little time later to get a bit more sophisticated. Mutations are a variety of different changes. So, for example, if you have the DNA sequence at the top, you have the RNA sequence below it, and you have the amino acid sequence, which that message codes for. However, if you substitute a single letter in DNA, a point mutation, you get a different code in the message, and you get a different amino acid at that position. And a single letter code mistake causes the protein to be misfolded, and it can't be exported out of where it's manufactured to the periphery, to the outside of the cell, into the blood. And this is the basis of a number of single gene disorders that cause the accumulation of a misfolded protein as a consequence. because we're going to talk about cognitive issues later tonight, I put up a couple of slides of things like the gene for Huntington's disease, single gene disorder, segregates in families. Josephine is a particular interest of mine. It's a form of hereditary ataxia that runs in families. But down here is a different one called frontotemporal dementia. And another one, mutations in alpha-synuclein cause Parkinson's disease. These latter two are genetic, but for the most part are not hereditary. Whereas the two previous ones are both genetic and hereditary. Mutations can be passed on. In this format, you see male-to-male transmission. You see female-to-male transmission and female-to-female transmission, which tells us as geneticists that this is an autosomal dominant condition. And if you have an affected parent, there's a 50% probability you'll inherit his or her mutation. This is in contrast to this one here, where it's news to this young couple that their child has a genetic disorder like cystic fibrosis, because there's no cystic fibrosis in my family, it must be in his family. Well, it's in both families, and both mom and dad are silent carriers. Four people in this room carry a recessive mutation for CF. 20 people in this room carry a single mutation for hemochromatosis. And it's estimated all of us carry about 6 or 7 of these potentially harmful mutations. Mutations are democratic. For the longest time, this interesting family history of hemophilia in the royal family was thought to be due to the fact that Victoria and Albert were cousins. It has nothing to do with consanguinity. She was a new mutation. A gene on her X chromosome was passed to some of her sons who were affected, to some of her daughters who were carriers, and comes right down to the common descendants today. There's no hemophilia present in the royal family of today, and I threw that in because of the recent visit. Now, I want to show you how I use this type of technology. One can take normal DNA and cut it up with small scissors, molecular scissors, and color code it with a green fluorescent dye. Now, each fragment has a postal code on the genome, and we know where that is and what gene or region of the chromosome it exists. In Dr. Nelson's situation, he'll talk about taking tumor DNA, cutting it all up with molecular scissors, color coding it with a red fluorochrome, and then combining the two. And a computer scan using laser technology will look at this and will see that there are many yellow dots on that screen, which means the tumor and the control subjects match. But when you see a red signal, it's nothing to match with, so there must be an extra piece of DNA in that setting. Or if you see a green piece, there must be something missing. So that's when you talk about DNA for tumor stuff. I use it over here on an almost weekly basis at the Victoria General Hospital. They're covered by your health insurance. It's a routine matter to use them. So there's no hype related to this aspect of this technology. Personalized medicine is genuine progress for some. And I use the example of pharmacogenetics. When I say it's progress for some, I'll come back to that. DNA determines how these different drugs are metabolized. The most common adverse reaction to drugs is no reaction at all. And that's expensive because you can't take your pills back to the hospital pharmacy or to your local pharmacy. There's lots of people, Dr. Kluge for one, who loves to have coffee this time of the night. So he's a rapid metabolizer of caffeine. I, on the other hand, can't have coffee afternoon or I won't sleep. So I'm a slow metabolizer. And these are due to mutations in genes that activate or degrade caffeine, is one simple example. Everybody who has a television is aware of 23andMe. They will take a saliva sample and send it to a lab and charge you $249 Canadian dollars, and they'll come back with your predisposition for a number of inherited conditions, risk factors for various other conditions, various traits if you're interested in that, but also in how you metabolize or don't metabolize drugs. And so you can do this now, today. Nobody's between you and them in that sense. They come back with an FDA-approved report. So this is a reality in our community. I mentioned earlier about this mRNA. If you just take all the message RNA out of the DNA, it's only about 2%. And so if you sequence that, it's very inexpensive compared to sequencing the whole human genome. And that sequencing is called an exome. It's done. 60,000 people around the world have now had their exomes done. 80% of these single gene disorders exist as mutations within the exome. And so we're now beginning to use exome sequencing to make diagnoses in children of diseases we've never heard of before. For more information, I would really recommend this book that came out in April of this year by Siddhartha Mukherjee. You might know him as the author of Emperor of Maladies, The Cancer Story. Well, this one's called The Gene, and I've given it 5 stars because it's an extraordinarily well-written book for the general public. And even I, at this late stage in my career, have learned a lot from it. Thank you for your time.